It's been described as a game changer. Two properties in the Murray-Darling Basin have been bought for $55 million to manage for the environment. However, the Nature Conservancy, which bought the properties, also plans to continue farming them. Richard Gilmore is the Country Director Australia for the Nature Conservancy. He explains what they want with the properties.
Oh, this is a game-changing purchase in the Murray-Darling Basin. We've acquired two cattle stations in western New South Wales, the Juanbung and Boyong properties, to demonstrate, we think for the first time in this part of the Murray-Darling Basin, that agriculture and nature can thrive together.
Why this land?
This land is really important. The Lachlan is the fourth longest river in Australia, and unlike the other rivers of the Murray-Darling Basin, it doesn't actually connect into the Murrumbidgee or the Murray, except in really, really wet years. This gives us the opportunity to protect this wetland where the Lachlan River terminates. So the Lachlan River comes down 1,700 k's, terminates here at the Great Cumbung Swamp, supports 200 plant species and 131 bird species. But it also supports local employment, jobs and economic development in the riverina. So we want to be able to sustain that economic development and protect the Great Cumbung at the same time.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing about what the Nature Conservancy does, isn't it? You don't just buy the land and lock it up.
No, for the first, say, 50 years of the organisation's life, that was the core business of the Nature Conservancy. But for the last 20 years or so, we've been very focused on how you do sustain regional economic development, sustain jobs and employment, and do conservation. So we're certainly not about locking up the Great Cumbung. We're about making sure that it can thrive, but also the local economy can thrive too.
So how will it be managed?
We're working in a joint venture with a company called Tiverton Agriculture. Tiverton is an Australian agricultural company, all Australian investors, and they manage a range of properties around Australia and Queensland, New South Wales and Victoria in a very similar way to we're proposing to manage the Great Cumbung. Growing food and fibre, it's also restoring biodiversity, sequestering carbon, looking after water. And we think their expertise in doing that will be really important to managing these two properties as well.
Will you be growing livestock or growing cotton? How do you see agriculture working with this wetland?
Sustainable grazing is certainly consistent with the Great Cumbung. In fact, some species in New South Wales and Victoria in particular, like the Plains Wanderer, one of Australia's most endangered birds, actually rely on grazing for some of their habitat. So we think grazing is consistent with conservation of the Great Cumbung. That'll be the primary economic activity going forward. But we're also looking at how we can develop tourism, carbon, biodiversity income streams to supplement that grazing income, which, as you know, can be pretty variable. In years like now, there are no cattle on the property at all. It's just too dry. So we'll be managing all those things in a responsible way.
Looking at how you're going to manage it, obviously the $55 million price tag looks quite steep. Is there any chance that using your techniques you'll be able to make enough money back to justify the purchase economically?
Yeah, certainly. These projects need to be economically viable, and we feel like we've paid a fair market value for the property. We haven't underpaid or overpaid. We've paid a fair market price, and that's really what we're trying to demonstrate, that you can make a fair market rate of return from these sorts of projects. We've had some assistance with philanthropy into the project, but by and large, this is about making an economically viable return to demonstrate that, you know, we and others can replicate this sort of approach across the Murray-Darling Basin.
If you show you can make money out of it, I'd imagine normal, everyday family farmers would be interested.
That's right. You know, we don't... you know, have the opportunity for everybody in the Murray-Darling Basin to rely on philanthropy, for example. And that's why we really need to demonstrate that these sorts of transactions are economically viable in their own right.
Where does the $55 million come from for this purchase?
It's a combination of sources. As I said, there's been some generous philanthropic support from Australia and from the US. ANZ Bank has provided some debt financing to the transaction. And Tiverton Agriculture has contributed funds as well from their investors. So this is what you might call a hybrid investment, where you have multiple sources of capital that all come together to make the deal possible. And we've structured it in such a way that we think it should be replicable by others across Australia.
The Nature Conservancy, you've got history in the Murray-Darling already, don't you?
We do. We've been working in the Murray-Darling for several years now, thinking about how we balance agriculture and nature. In this case, we're looking at the land primarily and the broader landscape. But we're also thinking about how you do that with water entitlements. So we partner with Kilter Rural in the Murray-Darling Basin Balanced Water Fund, which has about 10 gigalitres of water under management. They're trying to demonstrate, like here with the land, that you can share water between agriculture and nature. So the fund allocates water to agriculture when it needs it and allocates water to wetlands when they need it. And in the Murray-Darling Basin, happily, often those are different times. So again, we're trying to demonstrate that, you know, you don't have to cease agriculture in order for nature to thrive, and you don't have to destroy nature in order for agriculture to thrive. We just need to think about these challenges in some new ways.
It's an interesting opinion and thought process, isn't it, really, given the debate that we're currently going through in the Murray-Darling Basin, especially after the recent fish kills?
Yeah, we do need to be able to cooperate, and we do want to be able to grow things like natural fibres, like cotton and wool. Synthetic fibres are high input to produce, difficult to dispose of, can cause a waste problem. So we want to be able to grow natural fibres, but we just want to be able to do those at times and in places where it's ecologically sustainable to do so.
So you don't have a problem with the current agriculture in the Murray-Darling. You're just looking at your position as part of it.
Well, certainly agriculture is, you know, one of the challenges in the Murray-Darling Basin, but so is drought. So is a policy that, you know, we need to implement better, I think. But it's not helpful to blame agriculture or to blame the government or to blame conservationists. We all need to do our bit, and the Nature Conservancy is doing its bit by stepping up here at the Great Kumbung and hopefully elsewhere as well.
So in terms of this kind of purchase, where does this stand for you in terms of what people can expect from the Murray-Darling Basin? Is this a game changer?
We think it's a game changer. This is easily the largest private conservation-focused purchase in Australia's history, probably twice as big, in dollar terms at least, as the next biggest. But we think there's more opportunities like this in the Murray-Darling Basin. The Murray-Darling Basin is a big place, million square kilometres. Again, we're not trying to shut down agriculture. We're trying to get agriculture thriving in rural communities, but with nature as well. And if we can just demonstrate that this approach works, then the Nature Conservancy doesn't have to do every transaction. You know, ordinary investors, farming families, can take this approach as well.
When will you know if this has worked?
Well, the Great Kumbung is already a fairly intact place, and that's been really important. The previous owners needed to be good land stewards in order to keep the biodiversity values in the Kumbung intact, and that's largely the case. So to some extent, it already has worked. On the economic side, we'll just be like every other farmer and farming family in the basin, very seasonal. So it'll be several years before, you know, we know about the economic returns, but we're very confident that managed sustainably and with diverse income streams, that we'll be able to generate those returns.
Will there be more purchases like this?
Yeah, we're looking at other opportunities right now. And the sort of opportunities that we're looking at need two things. They need that biodiversity value that I talked about, which means, you know, that the existing landholder has been a good environmental steward, and they need to represent really good value for money, just like every other investment. And so if we have those two elements, then we're happy to talk to others about how we might be able to work with them.
So you're looking for key environmental features like a wetland, like untouched parts of nature, like a forest or a plain, and then you can build off that with an investment like this.
That's right. Key environmental features, but also a sustainable income stream, whether it's tourism or agriculture, carbon biodiversity, whatever it is, and that allows us to run the property so that we don't have to lock it up. We don't have to rely on philanthropy. If we've got those great environmental values and a source of income, then we can demonstrate that this is sustainable at scale.
I hope you can keep us up to date with how it goes. Richard Gilmore, thanks for joining us on the Country Hour.
Thanks, Warwick. My pleasure.
Richard Gilmore, Country Director Australia for the Nature Conservancy. They've spent $55 million on two properties at the end of the Lachlan River in New South Wales to manage for the environment. But as you heard, they're still going to farm.